Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, providing the financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Thrivent Financial. Let's thrive.
On the road to a contract.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. UAW leaders from around the country have unanimously approved a tentative contract with Ford. The ratification vote by 54,000 workers begins tomorrow. Like the deals with GM and Chrysler, Ford will contribute to a union-managed health care fund for retirees. The agreement will also potentially make the union Ford's largest shareholder. In return, Ford won't close any more U.S. plants for 4 years. But this morning, the New York Times reports Ford may have to adjust its restructuring if sales continue to slide. The stock market was rattled yesterday. Fallout from bad investments and mortgages. Citigroup may record losses of up to $11 billion. How much more is out there? Well, by one account, maybe $1 trillion in toxic debt. Yesterday, the Dow was down 51 to 13,543. The S&P fell 7 points. The Nasdaq dropped 15. Stocks in Asia were up overnight. Another stellar IPO in China. Shares in the B2B website Alibaba tripled on their first day. In Europe, major markets are moving higher. Two top executives from Yahoo are expected to testify today to the House Foreign Affairs Committee, CEO Jerry Yang and the company's general counsel. The hearing will be looking at the internet giant's role in the arrest it may have played or in the arrest of a Chinese journalist. We have more from Paul Brandis.
Communist China has tight restrictions on cyberspace, blocking sites and cracking down on free expression. It imprisoned one Chinese reporter for writing about political reform. What does this have to do with Yahoo? The company admits and apologized for handing over information about the reporter's internet activities. The case speaks to the broader issue of just how much U.S. companies should or should not kowtow to Beijing.
Companies have to make their own decisions based on their views of what their shareholders and their customers think is right and about how to deal with these issues generally when they're doing business in China.
That's Aaron Ennis of the U.S.-China Business Council. But what if the biggest customer, the Chinese government itself, determines who does business there in the first place? Yahoo would not grant us an interview. The challenge for it and other companies is how to do business in China while adhering to Western principles. In Washington, I'm Paul Brandis for Marketplace.
The system to fight against so-called blood diamonds is under review today in Brussels. It's known as the Kimberley Process, set up to prevent diamond sales from being used to fund conflict. Stephen Beard reports.
The diamond industry is giving itself sparkling reviews. 5 years after the launch, the Kimberley Process covers most of the global trade in precious stones. This means the vast bulk of diamonds that reach the market are certified conflict-free. They've not been used to finance any bloodshed. But Third World campaigners claim the diamond certification system is flawed. Gems handled by guerrilla groups in the Ivory Coast and elsewhere are still getting through and reaching shops. Annie Dunnebach of Global Witness.
There are a number of countries that need to strengthen their controls, not only countries in West Africa and in Central Africa, but also major trading centers such as the United Arab Emirates, India, places like that.
Her group is calling for Venezuela to be expelled from the Kimberley Process this week for not inviting international monitors in to examine its compliance. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world, online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. By Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at GrantThornton.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
In 1990, Congress created the H-1B visa program. It allows U.S. companies to temporarily hire skilled foreign workers. But year after year, demand for these visas outstrips supply. For the high-tech industry, that's a problem. Rachel Dornhelm reports on efforts to get Congress to allow more overseas workers.
The government hands out new H-1B visas every fiscal year to companies eager for the talent. These visas go fast, and they are capped at 85,000 for corporate workers.
All the slots got taken up the first day. Applications were available, which was April 1st.
That's Seth Sternberg, co-founder of Silicon Valley high-tech startup Meebo. He says the government ended up distributing the visas through a lottery. He won two this year. But Sternberg says relying on random lotteries is no way to run a business.
People who have these skills are snapped up in a heartbeat.
Large tech firms like Oracle and Microsoft lead lobbying efforts to raise the H-1B cap. If they're not successful, they can send foreign employees to work in their overseas offices. Companies like Sternberg's don't have that option and can lose business. Besides, Sternberg says, hiring foreigners isn't in itself a bad thing.
We help the American economy broadly, which I think is a goal everybody can agree on.
Not necessarily.
These employers, they don't feel the responsibility for hiring American workers. And if those American workers need a skill, they don't seem to feel the responsibility of spending the money and the time to train those Americans with those skills.
Rob Sanchez is a software engineer in Phoenix. He says he's been fired twice and replaced by H-1B visa holders.
Companies are dumping their older employees because they're more expensive and bringing in H-1B visa holders because typically they will work cheaper.
But Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell from Washington State says it's more about supply and demand.
There's an opening for 365,000 computer scientists on an annual basis in this country, and we're only educating about 80,000 people.
Legislation Cantwell attached to an immigration bill allowing more skilled foreign workers into the country failed earlier this year. Cantwell says she'll try again, but probably not this year. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.